For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter, beginning with the first verse and reading through to the 15th verse. It's Galatians chapter 6, and beginning with the first verse and reading the words in Jesus' name. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches all good things, in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is now is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, petitioning you that, Father, that through these words you would speak to us, and that, Lord, we may go from here rejoicing that you have been with us. In Jesus' name, amen. This first verse is really pretty familiar. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself also, lest thou also be tempted. How is it that we would be tempted if someone else is going through a difficult time? How is it that we would be tempted to fall into that because someone else was going through a difficult time? Whatever the temptation be, you can use your imagination and put whatever form or whatever word that you want in there. But the point is that we as Christians, if we see someone that is not maybe doing things correctly, or possibly speaking in a manner that is not conducive to a Christian, we are to restore that one in the spirit of meekness. And by that, the Apostle Paul is saying that you don't go up to him and hammer on him, so to speak. Last week I talked about, or I mentioned about Elijah, where the armies or the captain and 50 soldiers were sent to bring him into the palace. Well, the first 50 that went, God destroyed. So another 50 were sent, or another captain and another 50 were sent, and they were destroyed. And I can't help but imagining, and I can't help but thinking, that the way that they went to bring him in was in such a manner that the king sent us, you come with us. And it wasn't an ask, or it wasn't petition, it was demanding. We're the boss, you do what we say, kind of a thing. We know how we would even react in that type of a situation. But the third one that went, same amount of people, a captain with 50 soldiers, he went, but his whole attitude was different. His whole attitude was such that, look, I've been sent to do this. Whether I want to or not, I have to obey the rules, I have to obey the orders. And he went in such a way that it wasn't demanding, it wasn't threatening, But he went in such a way, and as it says here, in a spirit of meekness. And he even said to Elijah, he says, please don't call your God down upon me for doing what I've been ordered to do. And I'm paraphrasing here, of course. But the point is that his whole attitude was such that that Elijah paid attention to him, and he did what that captain asked him to do. Well, here we're talking kind of the same thing, that we don't go to someone who is doing wrong with a demanding attitude, and boy, you better stop doing that or you're going to go to hell. That's not what God wants us to do. That's not what God did to us. That's not what the Holy Spirit said to us when he called us, when we came out of away from what we had been in. It was a very gentle, quiet, and peaceful call. And this is the way that we are to treat those who are stumbling and falling. And we have to be careful, lest you also would be tempted. Tempted how? Because you're not immune from it. Just because you may not be tempted in the way that that brother or sister is being tempted, just because you may not have that weakness in that area, does not mean that you can't. Or does not mean that maybe you're going to be tempted in some other way. You see, the devil knows this stuff. So go there with God. Go with a prayer in your heart. That, Father, you know that I'm not doing this because I want to, but I'm doing this because I love the person who is having the problem. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That term burdens can also be translated into bear ye one another's load. And it does become a load at times. It does become a load, so much so that the shoulders begin to weigh down and the knees can become weak. Because Satan is just so insistent on hammering away. Then he says, for if a man think himself to be something, then he is nothing. He deceives himself. If we go up to that one, and we go up there in that manner of saying that, well, I'm better than he is, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to straighten that out. It's interesting that Paul says, for if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing. And we really are. We really aren't anything but sin in this fleshly portion, in this fleshly body that we carry with us. We are sin. And we recognize that. We know it. Because why? Because we believe in what Christ has done for us. We believe in what he has given us. We believe in what he did for us on that cross. So we know that we are sin. But, and there is a but, because of what Christ did, that sin is not taken into consideration. That sin is not taken into and held against us. In one of the studies that I was reading, there was just a little short sentence, and it said that by faith, grace and forgiveness is a never-ending virtue that is given to us while we were here on this earth. It's never-ending. It doesn't stop. God continually extends it to us. Why? Because Jesus died for us, and we believe that. That grace is offered to us continually, and we are continually being forgiven. We may not think so. There may be times where we go through a problem, where that load, as it says in chapter 2, that burden, becomes pretty tough. And if that gets to the point where it almost is a little bit too hard to bear, and we cry out to God that it's all I can take. But because we believe, and because God loves us that much, he does send down the strength. He does give to us the encouragement to continue on. And sometimes it's just a little subtle thing. Sometimes it's just something very small. But he knows us so well that he knows that this will give us ammunition, maybe, that we can continue on. And he says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, this sounds kind of contrary to verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law. Then it says, but every man prove his own work, and then shall he rejoice. Kind of maybe a little bit self-righteous. But when it talks like that, it says, but every man prove his own work. Look within and see what you believe in. Look within and see who you trust in. That old expression, and I'm sure we've all heard it, but for the grace of God go I. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Why? Because we understand the grace of God. We understand that it is by God's grace that we have not fallen into that or down into that burden, or we're not overcome by that burden. But we understand that it is the grace of God, and only by that grace can we say that we have not stumbled and fallen into that. When we talk about proving our own work, proving what we believe in, proving that our faith is our salvation. And then he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. And that's very true. Because ultimately, when it comes down to that, ultimately, we are the ones that are being afflicted. We are the ones that are being tempted as an individual, as a person. We have to bear that burden ourselves. But the help comes from within the congregation. The help comes from the brothers and sisters in Christ. Oftentimes we may not even know that someone is going through a tough time. But it's just the responsibility, I guess, if you could say that the one who is going through that rough time, reach out. Reach out if you haven't fallen. Or even though we've experienced something that we can't forget, God prepares people. He prepares them to hear us, to sympathize, to be able to teach and be able to admonish, but to be able to understand. This is how God works, because he loves us. This is how he wants to be able to take care of us. Or the glory or the whatever.